The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has risen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting their net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along, and there he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called to them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He ran around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
A man called John Egan worked at West Coast Computer Fair in 1977. His job was to help customers to decorate their booths at the computer fair in order to attract customers. He knew from experience that the best way to attract possible investors was a nice, glittery computer booth. Egan was approached by a couple of long-haired kids who wanted some chrome displays for their booth in order to look flashy. Egan said that he had the displays, but they were for rent. The kids said they were a bit short on cash and asked if he would take some shares in their company as payment. Egan had seen kids come and go before, so he told them he only dealt in hard cash. So Steve Wozniacki and Steve Jobs did without the chrome, fixed up their booth, and kept their stock in Apple Computer Company. Presumably, Jim Egan is still decorating booths for hard cash. It's a good thing the disciples today were interested in investing in the new product that Jesus brought before them. Today's readings are flavored with the theme of moving on, taking the next step. As it was in the days of Advent, Jesus continues to fulfill the prophecies of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. The gospel starts with Jesus having been, John the Baptist having been arrested, and Jesus taking up where John had left off, but preaching an almost identical message: repentance, for the kingdom of God is near. The gospel tells us of some amazing people who were prepared to stand up, leave everything familiar to them behind, and invest their lives completely in what Jesus asked them to do. His investors were far from perfect. Firstly, we hear of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. As I said, these four fishermen were far from perfect, but now the fishermen had been caught by Jesus. If you remember, Andrew, James, and John were three of the disciples that ran away from Jesus in Gethsemane that fateful night. Peter followed on behind, but denied on three occasions that he ever knew Jesus. Yet, despite the disciples' weaknesses and failings, Jesus could see in each person something unique and something beautiful that he could use at the service of his kingdom. Returning to their initial call, there must have been something very impressive about Jesus for them to make their decision so quickly. We don't get swept away as quickly by just an ordinary, out-of-the-way, run-of-the-mill person. There was something special about Jesus, some indefinable quality that set him apart. There was also something special about the plan he had for his disciples. Jesus came preaching, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." What was there about that kingdom that got these fishermen so excited? And why are we not so excited? Maybe we don't understand what the kingdom is. Or maybe it's just being presented to us in not so good a way. It reminds me of a woman who read somewhere that dogs were healthier if given a spoonful of cod liver oil every day. So each day, this particular woman followed the same routine. She chased the dog around her house until she caught it. She then wrestled it to the ground and managed to force some of this fishy remedy down its throat. Until one day, in the middle of the grueling medical effort, the bottle of cod liver oil was kicked over. With a sigh, she loosened her grip on the dog's throat and began to get ready to wipe up the mess. To her surprise, the dog trotted over to the puddle and started lapping up the cod liver oil all by itself. As it happened, the dog loved cod liver oil. It was just the owner's method of application that the dog refused to play with. Sometimes I think something like that can happen with our gospel message too. It has been often poorly presented so that we have never been completely captured by its attractiveness or by its power. Jesus had a vision for the world, a vision for how life could be. He saw the world where God ruled in every heart, a world of righteousness, a world of peace and justice, a world of love, harmony, and unity. I know Jesus talked about heaven and the life hereafter, but he also very much had a plan for this present age. He set about building up the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. He said that this kingdom was at hand. It is available. It's not merely a distant dream. It's a present possibility. Every once in a while, we might just catch a glimpse of that kingdom. J. Edwin Orr was a former president of church history at the Fuller Theological Seminary. He described a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit during the Welsh revivals of faith in the 19th century. As people sought the infilling of the Spirit, they did all they could to confess their wrongdoings and to make restitution. This unexpectedly created a problem for the shipyards along the coast of Wales where many of these people worked. You see, over the years, they had been pilfering all kinds of things, everything from wheelbarrows to hammers. However, as people sought to be at rights with God, they started to return what they had taken. As a result, the shipyards of Wales were overwhelmed by returned property. There were such piles of returned tools that several of the shipyards had to put up a notice which read, "If you've been led by God to return what you've stolen, please know that the management forgives you and please hold on to it." Wouldn't you love to see that kind of revival today? Couldn't you get excited about a world where people were making restitution for their faults, for their wrongs? Couldn't you get excited about a world in which you could always trust people to do the right thing because God was in their heart? Couldn't you get excited about a world without child abuse, without murder, without broken families, without drug addiction? A world without fear or anxiety or disease? Couldn't you get excited about a world like that? Today, the disciples were called and named. In the register of God's people, your name has been included since the day you were baptized. What we need to know is that the kingdom of God is still at hand and near. It remains a real possibility wherever there are followers of Jesus who are willing to live out what they believe. Christ is still looking for co-workers, men and women who will be fishers of people. People who will seek to introduce their friends and neighbors to that same kingdom of heaven. Can the Lord count on you?